KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have cloudy skies, a few sprinkles here in Atlantic. We look forward to be variably cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms, a high of 83. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Jeff Behrens of Stifel Investments. Radar does show some widely scattered light rain and thundershower activity. The heaviest showers are around the Omaha Council Bluffs metro area and also to the east of Coon Rapids and northeast of Guthrie Center. Also some showers and thunderstorms to the north of Greenfield. All that activity is moving to the east-northeast this morning. In Western Iowa news, no injuries were reported after a semi-tractor trailer hauling a load of cardboard boxes caught fire on Interstate 80 during the mid-afternoon hours Thursday. Officials had closed both lanes of Interstate 80 westbound between Neola and Underwood for a couple of hours while the fully engulfed semi was being extinguished and the mess cleaned up. There's been no word on how that blaze started. Officials at the Creston Police Department report two separate arrests took place on Thursday. At around 7:35 p.m., 19-year-old Connor Sabatka Callison of Creston was arrested at his residence on a Clark County warrant for failure to appear in court on a charge of simple assault. Callison was transferred to the authority of Clark County. And at around 1:20 p.m., 24-year-old Jessica Marie Larkin, whose address was unknown, was arrested on a trespass charge. Larkin was released on a promise to appear in court. A Western Iowa woman whose 11-month-old son drowned in a bathtub has been sent to prison. Guthrie County District Court records say 25-year-old Sierra Brasino was sentenced Monday to 15 years. She pleaded guilty to child endangerment and manslaughter. Those sentences are to be served after her sentences for drunken driving and two counts of child endangerment are served in Marshall County. The Guthrie County Sheriff's Office said Brasino's baby drowned August 10th of last year when she left him and his 2-year-old brother in a tub at their home in Bagley. Brasino told investigators she left the boys for about 5 minutes, but deputies believe the children were left alone a lot longer. Audubon Community School District Superintendent Brett Gibbs announced that the district is participating in the summer food service program. Meals will be provided to children without charge and are the same for all children, regardless of race, color, national origin, sex, age, or disability, and there will be no discrimination in the course of the meal service. Meals will be provided on a first-come, first-served basis at the Audubon Elementary School from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. beginning June 10th and running through August the 9th. Officials at the Iowa Department of Transportation said this week that a second lane on Iowa Highway 2 west of I-29 had reopened to traffic. A single lane had been reopened last Friday, providing limited mobility to the area. In opening a second lane, mobility will be greatly improved and traffic delay should be reduced between Iowa and Nebraska. As with the eastbound lane that was reopened last week, the westbound lane reopened Wednesday has water over the roadway. However, a temporary solution has been put in place. The solution includes concrete barrier rails along the edge of the road to keep vehicles on the roadway and permeable rock laid on the roadway to provide a surface for traffic to pass while allowing water to continue to flow. The solution restores mobility, they say, without causing water to be pushed to surrounding land. The area is susceptible to ongoing threats of flooding and is being closely monitored in the meanwhile. Traffic patterns on Iowa Highway 2 between I-29 and the Nebraska border may shift or the roadway may need to be closed to traffic periodically, possibly with short notice to accommodate shifting water levels. Travelers should check 511IA.org, the 511 mobile apps, or call 511 within Iowa or nationwide at 800-288-1047 for the very latest closure information on Iowa Highway 2 or any other state-owned roadways across Iowa. The Iowa Department of Transportation reports it'll hold a public meeting on Tuesday, June 4th, to discuss the proposed improvements to the I-80 bridges over the South Raccoon and North Raccoon Rivers and the Old Portland Road Bridge in Dallas County. Traffic north of I-80 would be detoured during construction using 323rd Place and U.S. Highway 169. Traffic south of I-80 would be detoured using 347th Street and U.S. 169. All interested persons are invited to attend the meeting anytime between 4:30 and 6 p.m. at the DeSoto Intermediate School. Again, that's on June the 4th. The meeting will be conducted in an open forum format with a DOT staff present to informally discuss the proposed improvements, but no formal presentation will be made. And the Iowa State or the State Transportation Commission has approved the latest draft of its 5-year transportation improvement program. DOT spokesman Stuart Anderson says they expect to have around $3.5 billion available, which is similar to last year.
It stays relatively stable from year to year. The last significant change in the amount of money that is available for the commission to spend on the state highway system increased back in 2015 when the legislature passed a fuel tax increase, and that provided about $100 million a year in additional revenue.
Some projects are completed and drop out of the plan every year, and Anderson said new projects are then added to the fifth year. That includes several corridor projects this year, including the final stretch of two-lane expansion of Iowa Highway 61 in southwest Iowa.
A project to build a bypass of Missouri Valley on U.S. 30, which also would include not only a bypass, but it includes some levee work in the Missouri Valley area because the bypass would act as a levee as part of that project. Also allowed them to add the replacement of the Iowa 9 Mississippi River bridge crossing up in Lansing, which would be a joint project with the state of Wisconsin.
The plan also includes interstate projects that include Interstate 29 reconstruction in Sioux City and the I-80/29 system in Council Bluffs. In the funeral announcements, Arla Mae Grochen, age 87, of Panora, died May 11th. Memorial services for Arla Grochen will be held today at 10:30 at St. Thomas Lutheran Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Levina Bloom, age 101, of Dunlap and formerly of Erling, died Saturday. A mass of Christian burial for Levina Bloom will be today at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Betty Dennis, age 75, of Atlantic, died Monday. Funeral services for Betty Dennis will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Merlin Jensen, age 82, of Avoca, died February 18th. Graveside services for Merlin Jensen will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Graceland Cemetery in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Janice Namani, age 83, of Lewis and formerly of Atlantic, died November 20th. Due to the predicted forecast this weekend, celebration of life service for Janice Namani will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday at the Brayton Town Hall instead of the previously announced Oakfield Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Ward Seaburn, age 89, of Manila, died Tuesday. A mass of Christian burial for Ward Seaburn will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Robert Meyer, age 77, of Irwin, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Robert Meyer will be on Monday at 10 a.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Robert Skip Curlin, age 89, of Greenfield, died Monday. Funeral services for Skip Curlin will be this coming Monday at 1:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Marlene Wiley, age 74, formerly of the Lyman and Macedonia areas, died January 16th in Arizona. A memorial graveside service for Marlene Wiley will be held on June the 8th at 11 a.m. at St. John's Cemetery south of Lyman. Reacon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Hilmer Mathis, age 90, formerly of Griswold, died April 30th. A memorial service for Hilmer Mathis will be held June 11th at the Reacon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Ladine Osler Casey, age 92, a Griswold native, died December 1st in Arizona. A memorial service for Ladine Osler Casey will be June 22nd at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Griswold. Reacon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Nancy Christensen, age 71, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Nancy Christensen will be this coming Tuesday at 2 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. And John Peters, age 81, of Ames and formerly of Lewis, died Thursday at the Iowa Veterans Home. Services for John Peters are pending at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.